Would you take your Bibles and open to Mark chapter 6 today as we continue our study through the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 7 through 13. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples, as it begins in verse 1. And we went through this a couple of weeks ago, and just want to remind you of this, that when he got to Nazareth, did he find things great there? No, they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to hear what was going on from him. Then as we get on down to verse 6, it says, "Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village." He was amazed, by the way, by the lack of faith of the people in Nazareth. So he went around teaching from village to village after that, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two, and he gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for the journey except the staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and preached to the people that people should repent, and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Dear Lord, I just come to you today, Father, thanking you that your word is always true and right, and it teaches us things, Father, that maybe we haven't seen yet, maybe we have, but Lord, you just ingrain them deeper into our hearts. And I thank you, Father, for this picture of how Jesus sent his disciples out with a message. Lord, he's also sending us out. You're sending us out with a message. And Father, sometimes we are diligent and we're faithful and we do what we're supposed to do, and other times we're selfish and we're distracted and we do things that we want to do. But Father, I pray that you will encourage us and admonish us to be who you've called us to be, your salt and your light in a world that desperately, desperately needs it right now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your outline in front of you, I just want to read the first paragraph. One of the most amazing features of the Gospels and of the ministry of the Lord Jesus is the men that he chose as his disciples. They were not men with resumes of religious training. They were fishermen, tax collectors, common men. There was nothing special about them. I believe it's because God chooses to use uncommon people to do the most amazing work in history. They were learning by watching the Lord himself. There could not be any greater training than the disciples went through with Jesus for 3.5 years. Now, I know that there are some people who think, you know, you've got to know Scripture by memory and all the other things that are in God's Word, and you know, have to be able to explain everything in God's Word. Folks, there's still things I don't know how to explain. I just know God says it. And the best explanation I can say to anyone who may come and say, "Well, what do you say about this particular passage or whatever?" I say, God said it. It's God's word. And a lot of people want to change God's word and make it fit what they believe and what they think. But folks, it's not going to work that way. It never works that way. They may think that they've changed it. They may teach you something that they think is right. But God's Word is God's Word, and we've got to stick with God's Word. And that's what we'll do here. We'll look at God's Word and what it says and hear what He's saying to us. I want to begin by looking at the mission of these 12 men that God chose to follow Him and then be those that He left behind with a mission. Now think about that. These 12 guys, when Jesus rose from the dead, when he met with them for 40 days, when he was ascended into heaven, that was it. It was all on them. 12 guys. Now, I don't know about you, but Somebody once said, you know, about the angels meeting with Jesus later, and I think I've probably told you this before, but I repeat things because that's how old I'm getting. But they came up to Jesus after he came back to heaven. Hey, how'd it go? Will you tell us all about it? You know, and he says, you know, spent 3.5 years with these 12 men, and I poured my life into them. And you know, now I'm back. And they said, well, what are you going to do if they don't do what they're supposed to do? What's plan B? And he says, I don't have a plan B. You see, Jesus has now given us the commission. For every person who knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we have a commission upon our life that by love we are to go and spread the good news. So how's that going? This was the mission of the 12. Jesus, first of all, called them together and then he sent them out. He sent them out into the villages around there, 2 by 2. Now, why 2 by 2? Well, didn't he send them 3 by 3? Then they would add 4 groups and they'd fill a lot. Why 2 by 2? Well, I think it's interesting that in Scripture we see something that comes out, and I believe it's a picture of why Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 5 says, for instance, a man may go into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood. Some of y'all probably did that in the last couple of weeks, right? To go, you know, if you're getting ready for winter, you probably did that. To cut wood, and as he swings his axe and to fell a tree, the head may fly off and hit his neighbor and kill him. That man may flee to one of the cities and save his life. Now, you might say, what does that have to do with this? It has everything to do with it because two people, there's an accountability that's built into it. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down or gets hit in the head with an axe, one could help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. See, God didn't call us to individually, single-handedly go into this world and do all the... God has called us to be compatible with someone else. We need to have somebody that we can call on and go with. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. Somebody in the church. Somebody that you can call at any moment and say, hey, I'm going to go share Christ with this guy that I know, would you come along with me? So they were sent out 2 by 2. And they were given power. Look at what it says. I like how it says this. He called the 12 to himself. He sent them out 2 by 2. And he gave them authority over evil spirits. They were given power. Not their own power. Do they have power against evil spirits? No. Do you? No, not personally, no. But with Jesus, we have all power. You see, it was not their own power, but the power of the one who holds all power. Jesus gave them the power, the authority over these evil spirits. We have that very same power given to us by the presence of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus. Listen, folks, I believe with all my heart that if we take up the power that we have and use it, God would be doing amazing things in our presence. God would be doing amazing things in this community that, by the way, is being ravaged by drugs. It's being ravaged by breakups in families. It's being ravaged by all kinds of things. But we have the power that God has given us, the very same power that these men had as they went out. This was not some mystic power summoned up by the magic of men, but it has everything to do with the authority of the one who gave it. Who gave them this power? God Himself. Jesus said, I give you this power. Does God have power over all things? Absolutely. When He speaks, everyone must listen. You know, I think of the amazing points that Scripture brings out to us. about that, because when God speaks, people will hear it. They will hear it. He was giving them not only the authority, but the right to do what He said for them to do. And as they went out into the communities around there and began to speak the gospel and have authority over the evil spirits, they were simply doing what He had given them the authority and the right to do. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, very truly, as He was speaking to His disciples earlier, telling them He's going to prepare a place for them. Then He says in verse 12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in Me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. When I was a young Christian, that kind of bothered me. How could we do greater things than He had done? Well, somebody helped me understand what He was talking about here later on in my life. Because He had 12 guys around Him and Him. And they were sharing the gospel. How many people know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior now? Now the Holy Spirit resides in all of us. Jesus said, I'm just right here, but I'm going to have to go back to the Father. But when I go, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And every person that knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us to the person that we need to speak to? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to draw people to the Lord? And that's exactly what these men were going to do. They were going to go out, and they were, by the authority of Jesus Himself, sharing the good news with people around them. That was the mission of the 12. Then we see the mandate of the 12. Look at verses 8 through 11. These were His instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. That's pretty easy for me. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They were to take nothing. You see, if they went with a bunch of stuff, then they're, what they're doing is they're relying on stuff. Do we rely on stuff? They were to go as they were. This was literally their training of walking by faith. Well, Lord, what if we don't have food to eat? I will provide. What if we don't have money to pay something that we need to pay for? I will provide. I want you to learn to walk by faith. Many of you might remember those days when you had children that they were learning to walk. So what did you do? You would put them over here, and then you'd back off a couple of steps from them, and then you'd put your hands out and your arms and tell them to come to you. And probably the first time they just sit back down, or they, you know, take one step and fall over or whatever. But we continue to do that. Why? Because we want to see them walk. And before long, they're climbing on the furniture and they're getting into, you know, whatever. We could get to that. But they learn by doing stuff. We learn in our faith walk by doing things, don't we? You see, the first time you might you want to share Jesus, you might not know exactly what to say. You might think, I really blew it. I probably didn't share what I needed to or whatever. But you learn by doing, by faith. And opening up your heart towards those people. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 says this, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? contrary, you probably are taking some away. That's parenthetically there. I just throw that in. And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith, dinky faith? So don't worry about saying, what should we eat or what should we drink or what should we wear? For the pagans run around after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus was teaching them this very tenet in their lives. I'm sending you out. Don't take all this stuff. Don't pack your backpack. Don't load your red wagon full of stuff. Just go, and I will provide. And they were to go urgently, not after they went home and planned out their route and how long they would stay in one place and making reservations at the hotel, packing a cooler, filling up their suitcases. He just says, go. I'm sending you out. Go. They were to go as is. You know, I think sometimes we think, man, you know, I will go to that guy that God's been putting on my heart, but I got to get ready and I've got to think of how I'm going to approach the subject with him. And I think, you know, and you know, you can think yourself to death and he'll die without Christ. They were to go as is. And they were not to have an appearance as someone with rank or high esteem or wealth. In other words, he says, just wear your regular clothes. Don't take stuff that makes you look like you're super important. Just go to them. Again, one of the greatest phrases I've ever heard, and I'll repeat it until I die, made a super big impact in my life. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't care if you know every word in God's Word. They don't care how long you've been a Christian or not. They don't care about all that stuff. They just want to know you care about them. Then look at what he says in verse 10. It says, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the town. In other words, he's saying to them, accept the hospitality. If somebody invites you in to stay there, stay with them. Knowing that the Lord would meet all their needs, they didn't have to worry about who they stayed with or what the accommodations were like. Folks, I've stayed in some pretty nice places, and I've stayed in some places that I wish I had never been there. And we took a mission trip with our youth in our church down in Pearland, Texas. And what we chose to do was go into the very interior of Mexico, down to a place called Saltillo, and the little suburbs around that area were so poor and so desperate. And we chose to go down there because we had a connection with a missionary who had been working the area for years and just needed help getting the word out. And I can tell you something, folks. When people are hurting, they're open and susceptible to listen to God's word. So we took 75 kids and 10 adults, which wasn't enough for 75 teenagers. But we took 10 adults and 75 teenagers into the interior of Mexico back when, you know, it wasn't that big a deal to go in. It's a big deal to get out, but it wasn't a big deal to go in. Now it's not even a big deal to get out, right? But we took two huge school buses and three vans, and we went down there. For a week and a half, we spent time in the little communities around Saltillo. And we just invested that week with the children. In Mexico, they go to school year-round. So what we would do is during the day, we'd get prepared. And as soon as the school bell would ring and they would be let out, all the kids would come to the park where we were set up. All the kids would come to the park. We basically did a vacation Bible school in Spanish for them, sharing Christ, doing activities with them. And then at night, we would show on the side of a wall in town a movie in Spanish sharing the gospel. And not only would the kids come, they'd bring their families. And it was amazing. And we would see hundreds of people giving their hearts and lives to Christ. Why? Because they're hungry for it. And we didn't come in with all kinds of flair and all kinds of gimmicks and fireworks and all that. We just came in and told them the truth. We stayed in places that I never stayed in places like that before. But you know what? I was fine. God takes care of His children. There were some parents who were afraid to send their kids on, you know, into another country, concerned about their well-being and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that a little bit. But you know what? God took care of them. We only lost three, so it was, we didn't lose any. There was a couple we wanted to leave there, but but you know what? In the midst of all that, we saw God move. You know why? Because first we were willing to go. We didn't take all of our toys with us. We didn't take any of the electronic stuff. You know, we just went. We spent time with them. And it made a huge difference in many lives. And let me also just say this in a side note to that. I'm all for doing mission trips. I'm all for reaching out to people who need to hear about Jesus. But I also know this. Some people will go halfway around the world and share Christ, but they won't walk across the street and tell their neighbor. We got to be doing both. Verse 11 says this, "And if any of you, if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." This was a statement that they were to make if they were rejected. Shake the dust off their sandals. This was a Jewish custom that when traveling through a place that did not worship the Lord, they would, at the border of that area, would shake the dust off their feet. In other words, I'm not taking their paganism and their non-belief with me anywhere. Those who refused to receive the message of the gospel were placing themselves in grave danger. You know, you may be praying for someone that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe you've already started sharing Christ with them. Maybe you plan on doing that. Maybe you've been sharing through your testimony and with them for years. But I can tell you something, folks. It's never, ever, ever not worth that, doing what God's called you to do. But there may be some who will refuse to receive the message. We still must speak the truth in love. And let the Holy Spirit draw those who will listen to Him. For those who will not, they'll have to face the judgment of God. But it won't be on your hands. There's a passage of Scripture that talks about a time when someone's going to say, "I don't know you, God." And their blood will be on your hands because you knew them, you didn't tell them. God put it on your heart to tell, and you never did. And their blood will be on your hands. Then verse 12 is the message of the 12 men as they go out. They went out and they preached that people should repent. They should repent. It's the message of repentance. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Repentance means I'm going one direction, but I realize it's the wrong way. So do I keep going the same direction? You do if you're a husband that doesn't want to admit you're lost somewhere. And your wife goes, I think we were supposed to turn back. Oh, no, I know where I'm going. Any of you guys ever done that? Any of you guys ever lied? Yeah. So repentance means I'm going one direction, but I realize it's the wrong way. God tells me I need to turn and go to Him. And so I do. I make the choice. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going to turn and I'm going to go towards God. They were to go out and preach the message of repentance. It's a change of heart. It's a change of direction. And this only comes, by the way, from a heart that's sorry. It's not some intellectual, you know, well, that sounds right. Okay, so I guess that's what I'll do. No, it comes from your heart. It comes from making a choice. It comes from changing your life from the direction you're going to the direction towards God. It's literally an admission of your own guilt. Now, some people don't want to say that they're wrong. You remember the old TV show Happy Days? There was a real cocky guy on there named the Fonz. And that's one thing he couldn't do. He couldn't admit that he was wrong. I guarantee you, folks, it is in that place of admission of our guilt where God does His work. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. I mean, if you're sorry you did something because you realized it was a bad deal and it messed up some people's lives or whatever else, that's just worldly sorrow. But when you realize that God has called you to be the salt and the light to people around you, people that you know, people that you work with, people that you live close to, people that you see all the time, when you realize that God has called you to do that and you don't repent for not sharing with them, it's even worse. Repentance, true repentance, brings a new life. I'm not going to go that way anymore, God. I'm going to go towards You. I'm going to listen to You. I'm going to be directed by You. Hear where You're taking me. I'm ready. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us that any person then who is in Christ, therefore anyone in Christ, is a new creation. The old is gone, turned away from it, and the new has come. True repentance brings a changed life. Many people believe as long as they walked an aisle, been dunked in the baptistry, joined a church, they're okay. But I can tell you what, folks, none of those things are listed for salvation. I mean, if they were, Jesus would have said, okay, what I want you to do is join the church, get baptized. That's not what He said. He said, repent. It's repentance. And someday they're going to be sadly surprised when they stand before Jesus and say, Lord, we got baptized. We went to the jail and visited people. We gave out food in Your name. We did all these things. Lord, we did these things. And He'll say, depart from me. I don't know You. You're workers of iniquity. Because being a member of a church won't save you at all. Jesus saves you. Period. Fourthly, the ministry of these 12. Look at verse 13. This is what Jesus wanted them to do as they went out. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And you might say, well, wait a minute. What is that? You know, is that what we're supposed to be doing? No, what we're supposed to be doing is exactly what Jesus tells us to do. Would you agree with that? what Jesus tells us to do. Now, has Jesus told us to go out and cast out demons and anoint many with oil? No. This is what He told His disciples to do. Why? Because He had not yet paid the ultimate price on the cross. But what He was doing was opening up an attitude and an understanding that He is much greater than the things of this world. And there were so many people who were affected by demonic possession during those days. In fact, we read a few weeks ago about the one man who was he was inundated with a legion of demons. And nobody could tie him up. Nobody could hold him. Nobody could do anything with him. And he was causing panic and heartache and problems everywhere. And Jesus spoke to him, to the demons, and told them to go, to leave. And they went into the pigs and down into the lake, and the pigs perished. What Jesus did was to send them out and to allow them to show God's power. Does God have power over demons? Absolutely. Does God have power over governments? Absolutely. Does God have power over everything? That's where I'm headed. Absolutely. Things that they could have never done on their own were now able to be done. I mean, think about these guys. Most of them were fishermen. One of them was a tax collector. The only thing they'd ever done was just manual labor or taking care of stuff that they were supposed to take. They could never have done this on their own. But because of the power of God, they were given that authority. Our God has the power to do anything to draw people to the knowledge of His love. You see, folks, any person who is possessed by demons is not enjoying a good life. Surprise! Instead, they are in absolute confinement and prison by the evil one. What does Jesus say? I've come to set you free. I've come to set you free so that you can hear the good news and respond to it. Our God has the power to do anything to draw people to Himself and give them the knowledge of His love. People will be reached by His powerful love if we'll just let it show. But here's a couple of conditions. First of all, you got to know God's love personally. You can't show God's love if you don't have it. If you've not received Him as Lord and Savior in your own life. If you're not following Him, you can't share something that you don't have. We need to share God's love, His powerful love. Again, I said this a while ago, it's been rightly said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We will not reach, this is in print, and I want you to remember this, we will not reach the lost in our community by just meeting in a building once or twice a week. You know how I know that? Because here we are. Have we reached the community? Don't think so. Do people know you really care? Do people really know that God loves them? How will they know unless we go? We're not going to reach this community by just sitting here a couple of times a week. Maybe once a week and then getting online and watching it the next week. Okay, I just got to say this right now. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as we see that day approaching, we are to gather together and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, y'all are here, but there's many listening right now that need to be here. And you might think, well, I might I might pick up something from somebody else. Yes, you might. Guess what? Before the pandemic, you could have gotten something from somebody else. Listen, folks. Are we going to trust God or not? He didn't call us to sit at home. He called us to come together. Okay, that was extra. Didn't cost anything. His great commission commands us to go and to tell. Are we great commission followers? Are we doing what God has told us to do? We must go and we must tell. How will they know unless we go? Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been called to be the pastor of this church, but everybody else are the preachers of this church. And every once in a while I'll get to preaching too, but I'm telling you something, folks. We all need to be preaching the gospel to people around us. I can't do it on my own. God can do anything, there's no doubt about that. But He already said how He's going to do it. He's going to do it through His people, through His church. And we are to go and tell. So we can't just keep sitting here or sitting in front of our computer and think, hey, you know, I did my spiritual thing today. I've done my religious duty. We've got to get out there, folks. We've got to get out there. There are people who are dying without Jesus. And we'll have to stand someday and give an account. I don't want any blood on my hands. I want to be able to share with people that God puts in my life. I pray that's your desire as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to You this morning. And Lord, we realize and understand that as You sent these men out, You gave them specific directions for a reason. Told them what they were supposed to do. And that's exactly what they did. And You were glorified and still are. Because we're talking about them over 2,000 years later. But Lord, You didn't stop with them. You continue to give us directives. You've called us and commissioned us. We are now Your ambassadors, as though You were making Your appeal through us. Therefore, we are to go. We are to tell them the greatest news ever. Lord, help us to do that. Help us, Father, to stand up and do what's right. Help us to continue to meet together and encourage one another all the more as we see that day approaching. And Lord, it's approaching so rapidly right now. It could happen at any moment, literally. And I dare say, Lord, there'll probably be a time in the near future when we hear the trumpet sound and the clouds will roll back and You will call Your children to Yourself. And I wonder how many of us will be sad that we're leaving this earth without telling someone about Your love. Father, help us. Encourage us. Exhort us. Admonish us. Help us, Father, to get outside of our own cocoons and outside of our own bubbles that we live in. Just pop those bubbles, Father, right now. Lord, I pray this morning, not only for salvation for anyone who's listening to this message of repentance, but Lord, I'm more than anything this morning, I'm praying for Christians who've allowed themselves to be put in a bubble and live their own little lives inside the context of being called a Christian. Father, we can't do that any longer. The time has come. The time is near. We've got to get out of our comfort zones. We've got to get out of our preconceived ideas. We've got to get outside, Lord. We've got to knock on some doors. We've got to call some people. We've got to, you know, make a coffee date. We've got to do all kinds of things, whatever it takes, Lord, to build relationships with people and let them know how much they're loved by You. So much so that You were willing to give everything for them. So, Lord, I pray that You'll call us to repentance. For our laziness, for our apathy, for not being willing to, in disobedience to You, not being willing to do what You've called us to do. Lord, it's on our backs right now. It's on our shoulders. I know You will give us everything we need to complete the task that You've given us. But Lord, we have to choose to do it. And so, Father, I pray that's exactly what we would do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what, folks? We typically have a time of invitation right now. But I don't really want to do that. Sorry, Tom. It's just what the Lord's telling me to do. What I would rather you do is this. What I'd rather you do is just spend some time this afternoon somewhere alone and get your heart exactly where it needs to be with God. Because if you're not doing what He's called you to do, then we're not right with Him. Amen? Amen. There are announcements here. Let me just make a couple of quick announcements. One is, Love Inc. is looking for an executive director because the position is going to be open here fairly soon because somebody's moving to Missouri. But anyway, we're not happy about that part, but we're happy for her because she's going to be near her family. But if you're interested in doing that, you can talk to Pat Jones because she can fill you in all the ins and outs of what that entails. It's such a valuable ministry here in this town. And many people have been reached through Love Inc., and so it's a great opportunity. The Women's Bible Studies Tuesday out at Loudy Simpson. I assume that depends on the weather, but I imagine it's going to be fine, right? And you can get underneath the outcroppings there and stuff if you need to. All right, so that'll be at 1:30 out at Loudy Simpson. I'm sorry? At noon. Oh, noon to 1:30. Sorry. Okay, thank you for correcting me on that. Okay. And we had our men's prayer breakfast yesterday. Had a good group.